Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we are looking at justification in Roman Catholic theology, focusing on the topics of purgatory and indulgences. In our last few studies, we've covered in depth the idea of purgatory, and for our last two studies, we'll look at indulgences and how that relates to the idea of salvation by works in Roman Catholic theology. First of all, there's probably many that do not know what indulgences are because either you weren't raised in the Roman Catholic Church or it's just not a topic that you have heard discussed before. So let me read from Roman Catholic Church sources in their own words what indulgences are. I want to read, first of all, from a Roman Catholic bishop by the name of Charles Buddy. He gives the following definition. An indulgence is a remission in whole or part of the temporal punishment due to sin. Indulgences gained may be retained by the person who performs the good works required, or they may be applied to the souls in purgatory. Once again, purgatory is a place in Roman Catholic theology where an individual goes after they die, and they go and suffer for a time period for their sins. It's a temporal punishment. And related to that is the idea of indulgences. That would be a good work performed that will actually lessen your time in purgatory, either to be applied to your own life or to someone else's life. Let me also read from the Baltimore Catechism under answers 231 and 237. Most indulgences are applicable to the souls in purgatory who cannot help themselves, but who can be helped by the suffrages, especially masses of friends on earth, as well as by the indulgences gained in their behalf. So an indulgence is basically a good work or a good deed that's applied to someone that's in purgatory so they'll spend less time there. As we look at this idea, first of all, as you read the Bible, it's completely foreign to the idea of the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross and is actually a way to buy one's forgiveness because you could pay to have masses said on behalf of someone that has died and is supposedly in purgatory. The bottom line is that amounts to buying one's forgiveness. And in Acts chapter 8, when a man wanted to buy the power to be able to lay hands on people and be able to give the Holy Spirit to those by doing this, he was rebuked by Peter and was told that he was not right in the sight of God. So any individual that would support this idea, their heart is not right in understanding the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I want to read also some more words from the Bishop Charles Buddy, who goes on to describe indulgences further in these words. He says, to understand the background of indulgences, note that every good work performed with the right intention has a double value, one of merit and expiation. Hence, the sufferings of our Savior had a meritorious fruit as well as being expiatory for us. The Blessed Virgin Mary, having been without sin, did not have to make any kind of satisfaction. The same may be said of the saints, some of whom atoned for their mistakes in this life. But their works of merit and expiation do far exceed their personal needs. The superabundant merits of Christ, of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and of the saints and the martyrs supply the treasury of the church. The Pope may draw on this treasury. Does the Pope have this power to allocate indulgences from the storehouse of good works? He has. For whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so here the Pope has the authority to grant indulgences from this treasury of merit to be applied to individuals that are in purgatory that don't have enough good works to enter into heaven. Basically, it's collectively the church is saving itself by its own good works and good deeds, plus having faith in Christ. Now, I think one just has to read Isaiah 64, verse 6 to get the true concept of our works in God's eyes, where he says, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So the best that we could offer God, God would refer to as a filthy rag compared to his righteousness, his perfection. So there is no way that our good works could be applied to ourselves to save us or to save anybody else. Let me give you a description of two indulgences that have been offered by the Catholic Church. In the front of the Catholic Bible, in the New Catholic Edition, and I read this myself to verify it, it says if you read the Bible for 15 minutes a day for a year, 300 days off in purgatory are granted to you as an indulgence. Another indulgence that was offered by Pope Leo XIII, he granted to the faithful who spend at least a quarter of an hour in reading the Holy Scriptures with a veneration due to the divine word and a spiritual reading, an indulgence of 300 days. Let me read one other indulgence for Bible reading. is to the faithful who piously read at least some verses of the gospel in addition while kissing the gospel book and devoutly recite one of the following invocations. May our sins be blotted out through the words of the gospel. May the reading of the gospel be our salvation and protection. May Christ, the Son of God, teach us the words of the Holy Gospel. An indulgence of 500 days is granted. Basically, what this is offering an individual from purgatory, time off for good behavior in advance. Another indulgence that was offered by the Catholic Church was for those who wear the scapula, which is basically a little leather necklace that had spiritual pictures on it, offered by Benedict XV on July 8, 1916. He said every time he kisses his scapula, he receives an indulgence of 500 days. Also, in relation to this scapula wearing, for every act of charity and every act of piety, he receives an indulgence of 100 days. Another one was offered that when a Roman Catholic went to a church on Wednesday or on Saturday, that the scapular wearer visits a confraternity church, he receives an indulgence of 7 years and 7 quarantines. And another one that I have to point out, which basically is a mind blower, is that in the Sabbatine Bull, and a bull is an official order of the Pope, issued by Pope John the 12th, granted to the wearers, or those who wear the dark brown scapulas, that he said that he received from Mary in an apparition the following: I, the Mother of Grace, shall descend into purgatory on the Saturday after death, and whomsoever that's wearing the scapula, I shall find in purgatory, I shall free. So if you die with this little leather scapula on, Mary will come the following Saturday and rescue you directly out of purgatory. This, you know, is borderline paganism. It reminds me also of Mormonism, where you could baptize people for the dead, that if you had a relative or a friend that died without being a Mormon or was being baptized, you could go into their temple, be baptized, and I'll be credited to that individual that had died. And that's why the Mormon church is into all these genealogies, so they could have someone stand in proxy for that person that has died and actually baptize them on behalf of that dead individual. This is completely contrary to the New Testament. Now, as you're hearing this, you may say, does the Catholic Church really believe that they have the authority to grant indulgences like this? Let me read once again from the Council of Trent documents on this subject. So, since the power of conferring indulgences was granted by Christ to the Church, and she has, even in most ancient times, used this power delivered unto her by God, the Holy Synod teaches and enjoins that the use of indulgences for the Christian people, most salutary and approved by the authority of the sacred councils, is to be retained in the church, and it condemns those who assert that they are useless or who deny that there is in the church the power of granting them. So their official position is that the church does have the authority, as granted by Christ, to grant these indulgences, as well as someone would say that they're useless, or the church doesn't have that authority, they're the ones to be condemned. It is just so opposite of what the New Testament teaches. Those that are teaching salvation by works are condemning those that would teach that salvation is by grace. And I would like to end our time today by looking at two important scriptures in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says this: Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Paul is writing to a church that he himself planted, that he himself preached the gospel of grace, and then what happened after he left, because he was an apostle that traveled from place to place and planted churches, other teachers came in who are called the Judaizers, came in and said, Paul did not give you the whole message. It's not enough to have faith in Jesus Christ. You also need to submit yourself to circumcision, also to dietary laws, to worshiping on certain days. So basically, it was salvation by faith in Christ plus all these additional works. So Paul writes back after these teachers have come in and distorted the truth, and he's telling these believers to hang on to the liberty by which Christ has set them free, and don't be entangled with a yoke of bondage. That's what all these rules and regulations are when an individual's trying to use them to earn their salvation. It's a yoke of bondage. It's a heavy weight which man is going to fall under because he's never going to be able to do enough good works in order to make himself right before God. And then in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, he says this: O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This I only want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? And so Paul is writing this group back and saying, who's bewitched you? That's a strong term. It communicates the idea of being Satanized or being deceived by Satan. So Paul taught that if a man receives the message of the gospel, that man is saved by grace through faith, and then later is taught that, no, that's not sufficient, you need to add all these other rules and regulations and law, that person is being deceived by Satan. He says, it's foolish. Are you going to begin in the spirit, then perfect yourself by the flesh? And that's what all this scapula wearing is, and purgatory, receiving the grace through the sacraments, going to the mass, going to confession, doing the penance to basically merit that forgiveness. It's all based on trying to perfect yourself in the efforts of the flesh, and Paul calls it foolish and being bewitched. So this is not something light that we could just dismiss. Their official doctrine holds to these positions. Now, as I said throughout these weeks, so we've been looking at this subject, I don't know exactly what each individual Roman Catholic may believe, but what I can do is analyze what their documents say the church holds to and presents. And that we can analyze based on what Scripture teaches, and it falls way short. If you've been listening to these studies, you should surely see how contrary Roman Catholic theology is to the message of the New Testament.